This podcast is offered to you by Zen Center North Shore on the web at www.zencenternorthshore.org. This program is made possible by donations from listeners like you.
Good morning. Hello. I guess these are all the heathens. Why aren't you in church? Happy Easter for those of you for whom that's a thing. And also, I think it's Passover. And as we just expressed, it's very close to the full moon. Happy full moon. It is beautiful. I don't know if you saw it last night or early this morning. It's gorgeous. And it's a pink moon. Did you know that? And it doesn't mean the moon itself necessarily is pink. It's just called the pink moon. I think it's an indigenous thing. And I think it's connected with something about pink moss. I don't know if anybody is more of an expert in this than me, but it is a beautiful image to have in the spring, you know, the pink moon. So I'm feeling very happy. Thank you so much for the ceremony. It's very important that we offer this monthly, this full moon ceremony. And if this is your first time at a full moon ceremony, I know it's kind of weird. But what I want to talk about this morning actually is the connection between the so-called full moon and your so-called delusion. I want to warn you, I'm filled with all this practice energy, you know, all these thoughts. Like, for instance, what happened in this? Oh, yeah. Okay, listen to this. Just in case we think we're getting arrogant, you know, we're falling into arrogance when we come across, and I've never had this thought before, when we come across, when we say that first of the four bodhisattva vows, beings are numberless, I vow to save them, who do we think we are? Don't we have enough problems of our own? But then fortunately, the second line is, delusions are inexhaustible. It's like we avow, like how can we help anyone if we're filled with delusion? Like, what is that? But we still say it anyway. I love that about our practice. And so this connection with the full moon, you know, calling it the full moon, and Dogen Zenji's practice hyphen enlightenment, or practice hyphen realization, practice hyphen awakening, as one thing, not as two things. It's not that we practice in order to have realization. Our practice is itself realization. And so too, you know, the moon, I've said this many times, is always in fact full. We call it a full moon just because we can see it as full. But the moon in itself is always full. This is very important for us in practice. Realization is always right here. Awakening is always right here. And so connecting this morning with the fact that we're coming back from interim. Welcome back from interim. You may think you aren't practicing in the last 2 weeks. I don't know. How many of you thought you weren't practicing? Okay. Yeah. Okay. I want to challenge that notion a little bit. And in fact, that will be the question for later on. Colloquially speaking, it might be, how was your interim? How was your spring vacation? Or it might be, what did I say here? How did you manifest practice in the last 2 weeks? What did you experience in the last 2 weeks? What was the shape of your mind in the last 2 weeks? What's important about this in this season of resurrection, which I love the concept, the notion, the thought of resurrection, of new life. Now we might say to that as practicing Buddhists, if you call yourself that, or practitioners, you know, meditators, Zazen people, that this new life is actually just continuation. It's just simply continuation. Just like this so-called interim was just simply continuation. And this so-called return to practice is just simply continuation. Because what's in my mind right now this morning that I feel like I want to share is the question is something like, you know, what do you think practice is? And I guess what I'm proposing this morning as we re-enter formal practice is that just like everything else, in truth, practice is continuous. And so what that might mean is during something called interim, you know, we might get to see something. We might get to see something that we're holding on to. More positively stated, we might get to see how much we appreciate things like Sangha, things like the daily schedule, things like showing up for others or with others. And you might even appreciate, I'm embarrassed to say this, you might even appreciate having a teacher. You might even appreciate that. But because of that, it's very important, I think, to have a chance to be away from the teacher, to have a chance to be away from the Sangha, the schedule, to be thrown back into your own life, to be thrown back into your own body mind. It's like both are equally important. And so there's a story connected to this. It's a traditional Zen story that I really love, and Blanche really loved this story about the ancestors Xuefang and Yantou. That is a story about challenging ourselves. And it is actually, I think, more like trusting ourselves. It's a beautiful, precious thing to develop trust in your own practice. And that can include developing trust in the triple treasure, meaning trust in Sangha, trust in the practice, the lineage, trust in our intimacy with each other, trust in this practice realization, trust in the moon always being full and not being fooled. I wonder if one of these months it's the full moon. We have a pink moon. I wonder, we should have a full moon. Maybe the full moon is every month when it's the new moon and you can't see it and you think it's not there. Okay, anyway, here's the story. And, you know, by the way, this is such a wonderful book. I mentioned this before, Andy Ferguson's Zen's Chinese Heritage. I recommend it. It's one of those books to get and have on your shelf, not as a collector's item, but as something to refer to throughout the rest of your life. A couple of the characters, because one of the things about this book, the offering of this book, and at the end of it, Andy, I'm riffing here. We have to be done by 9:30 because I'm going to New Hampshire to see my mother for Easter. And I'm sure you have plans too. But I do want to point out, isn't this cool? This is awesome. You're not going to be able to see it in detail, but it's the lineage chart. of the Zen ancestors. So for those of you who want to geek out, the lineage chart of the Zen ancestors, okay? So the different schools. And then you get to see who was interacting with whom. You get to see what, like, the buzzwords were and what the topics du jour were, you know, what people were struggling with. It's very interesting. And so the characters around the time of Xuefang and Yanto were, one of them was Dongshan, one of them was Dershan. They were their teachers. And so someone, I can't remember, maybe it was one of you, we were talking the other day about the famous story about the monk who tips over the rice pot. Who was I? Was Wendy, was that you? Okay, I was trying to remember. Okay, so this is Xuefang. He's the guy who tipped over the rice pot. And Dongshan was the abbot at the time. And the abbot stopped by the kitchen where Xuefang was either the tenzo or the rice cook that day. And Dongshan asked him that famous question, which I think came up in the Foundations series too. Maybe Heidi, you might recognize this. For some reason, I think it came up. Dongshan's question was, do you strain the rice from the sand or the sand from the rice? It's a really important question. And Xuefang said, and you know, he's in the middle of preparing the meal, so this is a test. You know, he's busy. He's got stuff to do. And here comes the abbot asking this question. It's like, not now, I'm busy. Not, no Dharma right now, I'm busy. Okay? I got a meal to put out. But Xuefang says, sand and rice are both strained at the same time. Which I think is pretty good, if, you know, for someone under pressure, you know, who stops and responds. And Dongshan says, well, what will the monks eat then? And that's when Xuefang tips over the pot. He throws the pot over, dumps the rice out, tips over the entire pot. And Dongshan's response is, and I think about this a lot. He says, your affinity is with Dershan. He basically kicks him out of the monastery and says, go study with this other guy. Go. It's very interesting. And then Dershan is the character. It's very interesting. Dershan is the character who gets bested by the woman selling the rice cakes. Have you heard about this? This is a really good one too, where Dershan is out walking. He's out on pilgrimage and he's become an expert in the Diamond Sutra, and he's lugging all these commentaries on the Diamond Sutra and probably other sutras with him. And he stops to get refreshment from this woman who's selling, you know, snacks by the side of the road. And she asks him who he is, and he tells her, and she says, oh, okay. So just curious, you know, past mind is ungraspable, present mind is ungraspable, future mind is ungraspable. So it says in the sutras, in the Diamond Sutra. So I want to know, with what mind are you going to eat this rice cake? And Dershan is completely speechless. And that's an opening for him because he's a solid practitioner. It's not a failure. It's not a begin. It's not an ending. It's a beginning. And so, so he later on burns all his commentaries in a big pile. He's very dramatic, which is why I think Dongshan might have said, go, your affinity is with Dershan. You're a little bit too dramatic for here. And then Dershan, this is interesting. One of Dershan's teachings that's recorded here by Andy is Dershan says to his monks, as soon as you ask, you're wrong. If you don't ask, you're also wrong. So a monk steps forward and bows. And Dershan, guess what he does? He whacks him. He hits him. And the monk said, I just bowed. Why did you hit me? And Dershan says, what use would it be to wait until you opened your mouth? And so Dershan was known. And for that, you know, I hope this is kind of upsetting to some people about all the hitting. This was in ancient China. I don't condone hitting. And I do appreciate the body. So for me, the Chinese ancestors were about asserting the body as the vehicle for awakening, not as something inferior to the spirit, but the means through which we awaken. Because here it is. We're starting to fall into the absolutes, you know, ideas of enlightenment, forgetting the emptiness also of emptiness. The body's going to remind us. Our nose is going to get tweaked. We're going to get, you know, something's going to happen. Someone's going to fart. That happens a lot. Anyway, Dershun's teaching was Zen is beyond words and phrases. It's not about the teachings aren't about, you know, about talking. And so when I'm giving these talks, when I am offering these Dharma talks, there's really a difference. I would like to say I'm the teacher, damn it. There is a difference between endlessly quoting other people and just simply trying to encourage you and myself, by the way. When I prepare for these talks, I am deeply encouraged myself by taking that time to reconnect with the traditional teachings. It's so fun to rediscover the ancestors. I really enjoy that. So that's what I do before I give a talk. It's like, oh, it's like it's self-accompaniment in a way. So anyway, this teaching of Dershun's, you know, all in here with Dongshan and Shuifang and Yantu about being beyond words and about our interim and about continuous enlightenment, continuous practice, no matter what it looks like, trusting the process, trusting the flow of reality, and taking our place there in full appreciation and full enjoyment. So here's a story of Shuifang and Yantou, and this is a story of welcome back from your interim. I hope you deeply enjoyed it, and I hope you're feeling rested and ready for the practice period that's beginning now, that's 3 months long. We're going to ask you, or you're going to ask yourself, the Buddha is asking you, all beings are asking you to throw yourself in, ass over tea kettle, wholeheartedly, no holding back, no doubt, throwing yourself completely in to your practice as it makes sense in your actual life right now. Okay, here's the story. When Shuifang was traveling with Yantou on Tortoise Mountain in Li province in China, and this is like around the 8th century, something like that, they were temporarily stuck in an inn during a snowstorm. Each day, Yantou spent the entire day sleeping. Shuifang spent each day sitting in Zen meditation. One day, Shuifang called out, elder brother, get up. Yantou said, what is it? Shuifang said, don't be idle. Monks on pilgrimage have profound knowledge as their companion. This companion must accompany us at all times. But here today, all you are doing is sleeping. Did any of you sleep in during interim? Did you enjoy those extra hours of sleep? Yantou yelled back, just eat your fill and sleep. Sitting there in meditation all the time is like being some clay figure in a villager's hut. In the future, you'll just spook the men and women of the village. Shuifang pointed to his own chest and said, I feel unease here. I don't dare cheat myself by not practicing diligently. It's a little bit like superstition in a way. Yantou said, I always say that someday you'll build a cottage on a lonely mountain peak and expound a great teaching, yet you still talk like this. You don't have faith in your practice. You're clinging to forms and ceremonies, to the schedule. Shuifang said, I'm truly anxious. What great friends these two guys are, that they could talk like this to each other. Shuifang said, I'm truly anxious. Yantou said, if that's really so, then reveal your understanding, and where it's correct, I'll confirm it for you. Where it's incorrect, I'll root it out. So here goes, Shui Feng. When I first went to Yang Wan's place, I heard him expound on emptiness and form. At that time, I found an entrance. Blah, 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 blah. Yantu said, for the next 30 years, don't speak of this matter again. Clay figure spooking the villagers. Shui Feng said, all right, well, then I saw Dongshan and his poem that said, avoid seeking elsewhere, for that's far from the self. Now I travel alone everywhere I meet it. Now it's exactly me. Now I'm not it. Yanto said, if that's so, you'll never save yourself. Shui Feng says, later I asked Dershan. He's quoting all these guys. Later I asked Dershan, can a student understand the essence of the ancient teachings? He struck me and said, what did you say? At that moment, it was like the bottom falling out of a bucket of water. So Shui Feng is stuck in the past, these past conversations. He's stuck in quotes from all these teachers he's encountered. So Yanto, in response, says, haven't you heard it said that what comes through the front gate is not the family jewel? What comes through the front gate is not the family jewel. Shui Feng said, then in the future, what should I do? How would you respond? Think about that for a second. Take a breath. What comes through the front gate isn't the family jewel. And Shui Feng's like, well, then what do I do? He's stuck. How would you help your Dharma brother? What would you say with all this endless repetition of past conversations? What is it now? Yanto says, in the future, if you want to expound a great teaching, then it must flow forth from your own heart. What's in your heart right now? Trust it. Full moon, new moon, trust it. Delusion, realization, saying the right thing, saying the wrong thing, saying the awakened thing, saying the stupid thing. What is it? And then Yantu, in his deep love of his Dharma brother and in solidarity, says, in the future, your teaching and mine, he says, will cover heaven and earth. When Shui Feng heard this, he experienced unsurpassed enlightenment. He then bowed and said, elder brother, at last today on Tortoise Mountain, I've attained the way. That's a pretty good vacation. Well spent. You know, and when I hear this, and Blanche, you know, I think about Blanche really loving this. And I think about all her rigorous practice, and I think about at the end of her life, how her teaching was, she just wanted to practice loving kindness. We offer these well-being ceremonies a couple times a week because that was deeply, I mean, one reason is because this was deeply Blanche's way, her practice of keeping people in her heart. Explicit people, specific people among the all beings who are suffering in specific ways. And this love between these two Dharma brothers practicing diligently together. And then I think it's Andy translates it differently here, what Dongshan said, but we say it on Thursday mornings in the Song of the Jewel Mirror Samadhi, that's Dongshan. When Dongshan says, you are not it, but in truth it is you. You know, it's like, so contemplating that, what is that? You are not it. It makes me feel this morning that your life is much bigger than Zen Center North Shore than the practice schedule, you know, than any practice period, than any specific, your life is much bigger to know that. And in truth, it is you. You know, because of the practice period, because of the practice schedule, because of practice, because of Sangha, because of the Triple Treasure, because of practice realization, it is you. This is you. You're not separate from it. So this is really hard, because what I'm asking you to do is to wholeheartedly engage with something and let go at the same time. That's what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to dive in completely. You know, maybe it's just as simple as just diving in completely and having an embodied experience, which means trusting your here-ness. But in order for that to happen, you have to be here. You have to show up. You have to engage. You have to be wrong. You have to make mistakes. You have to say the wrong thing. You have to be vulnerable. And again, you know, the purpose of this talk and all talks, as far as I can tell, is to simply encourage us to keep going, to stay with our own experience, to stay with our own practice, because we don't really know what it is. We don't really know. And yet we keep going. That's extraordinary. Thank you for that. You know, we tried to, seduce you in a way and encourage you. Like this woman who's on one of the committees, her name is Chris. She and I went to look at a physical space just before I left for Florida. It was fabulous. 1.3 million. And she said, oh, it's undervalued. It's going to go for much more than that. And whoever it was who bought it had cash on the spot. Anyway, but as we walked through the house, I just want to share with you, it had a beautiful big room. It was kind of like Lovett Street, kind of butterfly shaped. So it's not ideal, but it looked right out onto the ocean. It was over Independence Park in Beverly, only a couple blocks from the old space. There was a long driveway with parking and a little garage. And there was a work shed where we could keep our tools. There was a big lawn in the back where we could grow things and we could do outdoor walking meditation. There was a room with a lot of light off of the kitchen, like a sunroom where we could have classes in there. I was envisioning all of it. And there was a room where I could see the library could be, because it was just off the front entrance to the left. And there's a fireplace in there and I could see how cozy it would be. And I could see how it would be an inviting space for new people for whom the Zendo's too intimidating. Instead of going right, they could go left for the first few days or few minutes. That's like the warm-up space. Oh, books. Okay, I can relate to that. And then one of you would go over and bow and say, welcome, what's your name? Come sit. And the kitchen was gorgeous. It was big. We could put a big butcher block table in there, and I could see each of us lined up with our cutting boards, chopping, preparing lunch, chopping carrots. So this, you know, this for me was like, imagine it, you know, like fully see it. And then we walked away. We walked away from it because we're just kicking the tires right now. But this is like, you know, for me, this is the same thing as our practice day in, day out. I mean, I personally, you guys, don't know what's going to happen. But what I feel, this is one of the ways we seduce each other. It's nice to have a beautiful practice place. It's so supportive to flesh out Zazen through chop, chop, chop the carrots. And also having the Tenzo or the Fukuten come over and stand next to you and say, basically, you're doing it wrong. That won't do. You can't cut the carrots that big for Oreoke lunch. People won't be able to pick them up with their chopsticks. And that'll be a beautiful thing, because the Tenzo will have the opportunity. Chris, I know I was telling you this story, it's still with me. The Tenzo will have the practice opportunity to be like Yanto, how to support your Dharma friend, how to not discourage your Dharma friend, you know, to chop the carrots right without clinging to that idea of right. You still need to tell them, no, it needed to be a small chop to fit in with the salad. Because if you're going to be a server tomorrow, you know, or later today serving lunch, you're going to regret it if you're trying to pick up those big chunks of carrots with the tongs. You know, it's this whole cause and effect. You get to see the whole thing from soup to nuts play out with all these different practices of a physical Zen practice place. So I'm using my longing for that in the service of Kinyin, the Kinyin of actualizing that, even while I don't know. I have no idea. Well, I do have ideas, but I get to drop them. But, you know, a lot of us might think and practice that we're never supposed to have ideas. But I remember Lou Hartman in Oreoke. During Oreoke, he was like 90 years old at that time. And as he was opening his bowls, his bowing cloth fluttered. Was it his bowing cloth or was it his fork? He wasn't using chopsticks because it didn't work for his body. He had a fork in his Oreoke set. And his fork went flying. And I saw him go... And then it's like he cared that he dropped his fork. And then he could let go of dropping his fork. It's like you don't get to bypass caring about dropping your fork and just go right to not caring about dropping your fork, because you have to engage with each moment. With each moment of practice, that's the training. There is no shortcut. The soku's going to come around. Soku's going to hear or notice that you dropped your fork or your chopsticks or your bowing cloth, your wiping cloth. And he or she will have to walk around and pick it up and hold it in her hands and walk all the way around to the zendo, to the altar, bow in front of the altar, approach the altar where the incense is, purify the chopsticks, the fork, the bowing, the wiping cloth, whatever it was, bow again, and then walk all the way back to your seat. And you, who dropped that, sit here in Gassho while everybody else is waiting. You're holding everybody up because you dropped your fork. It was a mistake. And we hold it. We all hold it. We're all there witnessing. It's a powerful thing. You don't get to bypass the letting go. The letting go includes here and everybody waiting. It's fabulous. It's embodied. It's not conceptual. So this is what I look forward to. I look forward to the day that one of you drops your chopsticks in the zendo. And maybe you'll remember my saying this and you will own it. You'll remember Yanto and Shuefang. You'll remember, you know, the full moon, the new moon. You'll remember practice realization and you'll own it. You'll own your life and you will bow. And you will feel embarrassed or impatient or frustrated or whatever. But a part of you will just be here, free. And it's happening already. It's just fun when we get to have things to play with, like chopsticks and carrots. Okay. I'm going to just, I don't think there's any other thing to say. maybe just to repeat that line, to quote one of the ancestors who was quoting someone else. Just simply, it must flow forth from your own heart. So the question is, we break up into pairs, and please, nobody leave. Be your shui fang and yanto. Encourage each other, share with each other. How did you manifest practice over interim? If you want to answer, how was your interim? That's okay too. What did you notice? How was it? And again, this is in the context of, as we begin the new practice period with a fresh start, a fresh mind, with fresh energy, you know, as we're about to leap, like, how are we right now? All right, so take maybe 7 minutes, something like that, together, and then we'll just come back briefly just to check in. Thank you so much. Okay. Thank you, Emily. Anybody? Oh. Anybody? Yeah, that's okay. Anybody want to share anything that you found yourself saying to the wider group? I am curious about what you did on your spring break. Did anybody go to Fort Lauderdale? Daytona Beach? Okay, I think that, yes, Itenso, would you like to say something?
I didn't go to Fort Lauderdale, but I did go, I went out to, one day into Carter, central Massachusetts, and in this kind of woodsy area, and I worked on these, clearing this little piece of brook from thorns. Because they come in the spring, and if you don't catch them in the spring, but it was really lovely, so it was kind of a spring trip. So that's one thing I did.
Oh, wonderful! And Seitetsu, that reminds me of the garden here. So for people around physical practice space, we will be going back into the welcome garden here in Beverly for people who would like to. You know, we'll see when we sit there. Julie, I always connect that with you because that's how Julie and I met. We were sitting on Tuesdays and Fridays last summer, fall. And so we'll go back to that hybrid, you know. And in order to prepare the garden, because we actually do plant things, we'll be doing that too, right, Seitetsu? Like pulling out weeds and doing dump runs. And yeah. I'm looking forward to that being, again, tangible with each other. You know, work is so deeply valued in the Zen tradition, like labor, you know, with our hands, getting our whole bodies in there. There are a lot of encounters in the Zen stories while people are working, while people are sweeping or raking or cleaning. Yeah. Thank you, Seitetsu, for sharing that. Sounds wonderful. Spring clearing. Any other thoughts from anybody else? Yeah, Dave. Hi, Dave.
When you said dump run, it just triggered something because that's what my dad called it too. And that's exactly what I was doing most of last week and the week before, was lots of spring cleaning. My car is actually full of stuff that needs to go to the dump tomorrow. But I my break was full of practice because I kind of committed to the 90, and I forgot what the term was for your sort of individual 90-day thing that I thought of doing right before it was announced that we were going on break, and I thought, oh, whoops. So...
Yeah. So you had the opportunity to manifest practice a little bit more formally and explicitly, because even when we do have these interims, to give the staff a chance to take a break. You know, ideally what we aim for and what we've been able to do, thanks to Wendy and Bill, was to maintain, you know, an informal schedule throughout interim. So there's still that opportunity. So you're not entirely off the hook. There was still a Sangha to sit with. But only for support, you know, if you found that to be supportive. Yeah. Oh, Dave, yeah, I love dump runs. You know, one of my favorite memories of the monastery was driving the lumber truck into Seaside to the transfer station. It was this really cool cutting edge, like, dump. I think that sign said landfill. But we, because they had like all these sculptures made out of rusted metal and, you know, found stuff that was, you know, like trash at the entrance driving into this place. And it's just beautiful location. And we were hauling the two industrial stoves, ovens, huge. This woman, Connie, and I, just us. And you weigh it when you go in. And I don't know how many tons we were carrying. And then we had to unload it. A bunch of people helped to load it, but it was just us to unload it at the dump. And I remember I just backed the truck right over this chasm. Yeah. And we couldn't do it with our hands. I used to wear Red Wing boots with my overalls. It was my look, you know, on work days at the monastery. We had to stand behind. There was just enough space from the cab of the truck to the back of the stoves, and we, like, with our feet, like, shoved them out. It was wild to watch them just tumble into this chasm. And it's very existential. You wonder about, you know, all that stuff, like, what happens with it. It's a very spiritual place, actually, the dump. There is no place that practice does not reach. So, yeah, and I do want to say, I think Emily will have some announcements for us before we chant the refuges together to close. And just do want to say that thanks to Julia, I've been wanting to do this for so long, we have a little form that will invite you to fill out. Julia, do you want to say anything about it at all? Okay. So Julia's put it together and it looks really pretty and we're putting some final touches on it. And the staff on Tuesday will talk about how we get this out to you. But it's like doing a reflection. It's part of the process of making an intention, which is within the larger context of living by vow. Living within vow, allowing our lives to be vow powered. Exploring that a little bit and seeing the energy that's there. And how helpful it actually is to make that one choice to live by vow. So this is actually a dharmic exercise, filling out your little form, checking off what you are going to be showing up for in the Zen Center North Shore practice schedule for the next 3 months. You know, is it every morning? Is it Tuesday mornings? Is it Tuesday evening, Thursday evening? You know, just to go through that action of reflecting, considering, you know, considering commitment, considering vow, considering sangha, and then taking that little leap. So I don't know if we'll email it to you or if somehow it's going to be, I don't know how we're going to do it yet, but I'm very excited about that because it's all in this realm of, you know, when I talk about encouragement, like, what am I encouraging you to do? When I say encouraging you to continue in practice, you know, encouraging you. Oh, I have this, this is so goofy. I shared it with Chris yesterday. The arc of practice is long and it bends toward enlightenment. It's a paraphrase, right? You probably recognize it. It's about staying with that arc. You know, you're that arc, staying on your trajectory, your particular trajectory, giving yourself a chance to stay on it. This is, again, the self-accompaniment. So it's about taking your practice seriously. I take your practice seriously. Do you take your practice seriously? Okay, so that's what that's about. So stay tuned for that. Emily, anything else you'd like to share about upcoming stuff or anything else?
Next weekend is going to be a big weekend. For those who would like to hike, definitely check the calendar on the 23rd, which is Saturday. We'll be hiking out at Dogtown, and Chris is your resident hike coordinator for questions. But yeah, check the calendar for all the details. And then on the 24th, Sunday, we have our all-day retreat, and we'll be celebrating the Buddha's birthday, which will be very nice. And our class series is starting this Thursday. I'm still very much carrying our last poetry class series with me. It was beautiful, but we're going to shift gears and we're going to be studying the Vimalakirti Sutra. So please check the calendar. Looking forward to starting that this week. And it's just really wonderful to see everybody.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ino-sama. Chris, any word of encouragement about the hikes? Anything you feel like saying?
I expect all of you to be there for a good time. No, come if you want. It's going to be great.
So, Chris, there's been a request from a member of the Sangha, Nikki, who I don't know if you've met yet. Some people know Nikki more. She has all these fabulous birds. She lives in Ipswich, and she would love to do a consultation. She imagines you and you sitting on her deck and identifying the birds. I'm trying to get her. Maybe the first step would be to come on your birding hike.
Yeah, yeah. Sign me up. I will absolutely go sit on her porch. That's what I love to do for fun. So,
so I'm going to connect you. Okay. Yeah. Yay. All right. All right. Anything else from anybody else? Any announcements from your own life? Anything you want us to know about what you're up to? Yes, it is.
I will be, well, actually it's 2 weeks from now. I thought it was next week. I'm going to be graduating.
Oh, everybody, unmute if you'd like. Woo-hoo! Emoji mania. Say, Tetsu's graduating. She finished her PhD. It's official. There's an emoji. Oh, I'm going to go through the thing now. Oh, I like this one. Congratulations, Seitetsu. It's so beautiful. Your big, vast life. Yeah. Full throttle forward. Yay! Seitetsu, is that a bowl of soup? Noodles? Noodles for longevity. Dr. Seitetsu. Okay, everybody. Thank you so much for your support and encouragement of each other. And of me. And I wish you a beautiful Sunday, and I look forward to seeing you again very soon.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. This podcast is made possible by donations from listeners like you. For more information or to donate, please go to www.zencenternorthshore.org. Thank you.